Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So over the break, I was reading this very entertaining novel about the end of the world. There are a lot of them out there. Part of the book, called Station 11, tells the story of people stranded at an airport during a massive flu pandemic, and they all survive as a primitive settlement in the dark new chaotic world. I was shocked to read just how easily being stranded at an airport or in an airplane could become an end-of-the-world experience. In fact, it occurred to me that maybe each time we fly, we are seeing a tiny flash forward of the end times, packed into machines, being herded around buildings, ordered around by people in uniforms, crammed into tiny seats, our possessions taken away. We're forced to pay for the simplest comfort. A pillow? A cracker? Please? Nearly 100 million Americans are estimated to have had the experience of flying during the holiday season. And during 2013, I don't know if you know this, the major airlines combined made about $31.5 billion in income for some fees charged, many of them for the simple comforts I just mentioned. William McGee is the author of Attention All Passengers, The Airline's Dangerous Descent, and How to Reclaim Our Skies. William, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me on, John.
I gather you would think that, the end of the world is an overstatement of what's going on here, but you did use the word dangerous descent in the title of your book.
Yes, I did, and I didn't use it lightly. The descent that I'm referring to is tied into some of the things that you talked about, and certainly I think anyone who's flown in recent years knows that the service has been degraded. But my bigger concern is actually the same mindset that nickels and dimes for, you know, charging bags and charging for crackers and pillows also has created an environment in which maintenance of the aircraft is being outsourced to third world countries. And in many cases, safety itself is being compromised.
So that's to say that the pilot doesn't necessarily have an assurance that the plane is maintained, even though he may be looking at the same paperwork he was looking at 5 years ago?
Well, that's what we've seen happen very rapidly in the last decade or so since September 11th. You know, for decades and decades, maintenance was done in-house by qualified and licensed mechanics, and there were drug and alcohol screening and security screening. And now all of that is sort of going by the boards. The Federal Aviation Administration allows all U.S. airlines to outsource maintenance, and they all do. And the work is done overseas, in many cases by unlicensed technicians, signed off by one licensed mechanic. And so it's a completely different model than we're used to. And, quite frankly, we haven't quite seen the full results of what all this will mean.
Since the airlines have become very good at creating categories of service where you pay for a bag or you don't have to pay for a bag or you get slightly greater seat room or you endure really bad seat room for a reduced price, can you see safety becoming part of this business model where you would pay a fee to have service in America as the flight that you would take? Certainly the Department of Agriculture allows for grade A, grade B, different grades of food that are legal to be sold.
Yes, actually, I can. You know, that was the stuff of comedy routines a few years ago. But the fact is there is a greater and greater segregation of passengers. And I don't just mean, you know, behind the curtain in first class and business class, even within economy class now. And, you know, what we've seen in recent weeks is that Delta Airlines announced a new subclass of service in economy where you have even fewer rights. You're going to be unable to make any changes or cancellations to your ticket. I didn't realize I was coining a word when I said rather than being an enhancement, it's a dehancement. But that is the general direction that the U.S. airline industry is going.
So anything that you can imagine as something to improve your life on an airplane, planners at airlines are imagining as something to either charge you for or to lower your price to withhold from you.
Absolutely. There are people that are sitting in cubicles right now thinking of those very things. You know, you sort of have to step back and say, what was it like 10 or 15 years ago? I know for younger people, you know, they're tired of hearing this. You know, my son says to me, I don't want to hear about how things were 20 years ago. But the fact is, you know, what we're seeing is that they're taking away more and more services and products and charging us for them. And they insist on saying, I can tell you what the airlines would say to this. They say, well, we're offering more choice, and that's what our customers say we want. First of all, these choices are not always reflected in the fares. At some airlines, you know, Spirit Airlines, some of the other really low-cost, ultra-low-cost carriers, it is reflected in the fares, but you don't always see it at the majors. Yes, they're looking at absolutely everything they can to charge you for.
And is there any chance that lower fuel prices will give a benefit to consumers in the early part of 2015?
Well, so far we haven't seen it. When fuel prices go up, when they increase, the airlines are very quick to scream about it, and they're very quick to add increases in the fares. But when the opposite happens, we're told, well, we hedged our fuel, and so we bought it in advance, and it hasn't really affected things, and so, consumers don't see the benefit. It's obviously a system that is gamed, and it's not gamed in favor of the consumer.
And is this a sustainable business model, especially when you see high-end customers being siphoned off for plane share businesses, where you can basically control your fate much more than on the airlines?
Right. That's something that is happening. There's no question. But I think, I don't know if I would say it's the 1%, but it's certainly, say, maybe the top 5%. For the rest of us, that's really not going to be too much of an option. On the one hand, planes are fuller than they have ever been since World War II. We are looking at, the industry calls it load factors, but it just basically means the percentage of occupied seats. We're looking at rates that we have not seen since the airlines were troop carriers during the Second World War.
Unbelievable.
And so, that's not your imagination that you're on a fuller plane than you used to be. The middle seats were designed to be empty. I worked in airline flight operations management. One of my jobs used to be if a flight got too full, we would roll out an extra section. We'd have spare aircraft, spare crews, and we would run an extra flight. Or if something happened to a flight that had to be canceled, we would, have a standby crew and an aircraft to accommodate that. Now you have a system that's at the breaking point virtually all the time. It operates at the breaking point even when things are running perfectly because, one thing happens and suddenly you have an aircraft with an 86% occupancy and the whole system falls apart. There's no place to put those passengers.
Do you feel that it's impossible to imagine that airlines aren't also reducing that margin for error on the issue of safety before we go?
Well, I'm mostly concerned about the issue of maintenance aircraft outsourcing. It's a big part of my book, Attention All Passengers. I spent years researching this issue, speaking to people on the front lines, mechanics, FAA inspectors, and they're worried. They're the real experts because they're on the front lines. And they write to me all the time. They speak to me all the time about their concerns and the things they're seeing. And, this has not played out yet. We're still seeing how this is all going to play out.
William McGee is the former editor-in-chief of Consumer Reports Travel Letter, a columnist for USA Today. He's the author of Attention All Passengers, The Airline's Dangerous Descent and How to Reclaim Our Skies. William McGee, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Kevin Sutton from Dallas, Texas. My travel season was glorious. I avoided flying altogether, rented a very nice car for a very good price, took a leisurely road trip home to the Midwest, and had a blast. Three words, screw the airlines.
Oh, so nasty, Kevin, but you're very wise. Oh, Kevin, give us your story of air travels either avoided or endured at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway. And you can get an early jump on any of our conversations, be a part of our response network. You can sign up for our texts. Text the word START to 69866. Standard message rates will apply. We'll jog you, and you can have your story be a part of the conversation. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.